Hello and welcome to WNHHFM's Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make our community tick. Lisa Stanger makes the New Haven community tick. She's the president of the Jewish Foundation, which has some news of its own, a headline to tell you about. We're going to get behind that. Lisa Stanger, thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me, Paul. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, too. Lisa runs the Jewish Foundation, which has announced that it has grown to $75 million in assets. In the last year, it grew 12%. And that's a big deal because that'll have an impact on everything from how synagogues and schools and how other houses of worship function in the Jewish community to security, to help for the elderly, for COVID relief. So we're going to talk all about that. Lisa, congratulations on the milestone.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to correct you. I don't know where the 12% came from, but that's okay. We actually, our one-year rate of return is 35%, but it's not just about the rate of return. It's also, of course, about the impact that we make. Just as importantly as that we now have $75 million in Jewish community assets at the foundation. Last year, we distributed $3 million. And 85% of that was to local charitable Jewish organizations.
Okay, so we head back. I guess I had seen. So what, 35% return on investment. I'm going to ask you to get much closer to the mic.
Okay.
Like you're almost touching it. It's okay. Or you can move it closer to you.
Okay.
What would be a typical rate of return for the foundation?
So this past year is not typical for the foundation or really for anyone. We know the market's been extremely high and volatile for this past year. I would say, you know, the one-year 35% rate is definitely very good. I'm sure there are going to be people saying, oh, I get a better rate of return in my personal investments.
Wait, better 35%?
Yeah.
I thought foundations, the benchmark is usually 5%.
So what you're talking about is spending policy.
No. Yeah. Also rate of return.
Right.
Double inflation.
Right. So you have to really look at the long term, you know. So I wouldn't have brought up our 1 year rate except that you mentioned a number. So I just wanted to make sure.
I know it was a big year for a lot of people.
Right.
Like some universities actually got up to 50 for a year.
Right. And universities, I mean, we might be 75, you know, million, but many of them are, you know, 7 billion. And the more you have, the different type of investments you can have, because you don't worry about liquidity. You can do a lot of private investments. The foundation, and all foundations should be this way as well, is very conservatively invested. I know people are like, what do you mean conservative, 35%? We do have a lot of fixed income investments, and you have to, and we are looking for the long term. So again, we don't really emphasize the one-year rate. We're looking at the long-term rate, which obviously is much lower than 35%, because we look to, this is really a community assets in the same way. Someone's, you know, IRA is conservatively invested because they need to have that when they retire. Our horizon's perpetual. We need to have it really for the community, whether it's in 5 years, 50 years, or 500 years.
So just to let our listeners know, what is the Jewish Foundation of Greater New Haven?
So we are a Jewish community foundation. And really every community in North America that has a Jewish community has some form of foundation. So we are an endowment fund. We are donor advised funds. We hold funds for almost all of our local Jewish organizations and synagogues. We also have funds that donors come to us either while they're living or through their estates, and they'll set up a fund, let's say, for their synagogue or for their alma mater, because some people will do it for the non-Jewish charities that are important to them. They'll set up funds to help Jews in need in the Jewish
community. It's the way that New Haven, the Greater New Haven Community Foundation, people who have money they want to have go to good causes say, hey, can we put our fund at your foundation? It'll go to these kind of causes. You'll invest it for us. You'll vet people who get it. You'll make sure it goes in the right hands.
Absolutely.
You make sure you get a good return.
It's exactly. We are a Jewish community foundation, so we're similar in that way to the community foundation for Greater New Haven. Obviously, they're much larger than
and
us.
And a good word to say is umbrella, right? So
yes.
for all the Jewish community, all its many institutions, all the parts of the community, you're one central place that people who care about the long-term health of our community will go to help you invest their money and then find the right place to put it.
That is correct. And we also have, you know, expertise that people might need in terms of philanthropic or charitable planning. So I'm a recovering lawyer. Before I came to the Jewish Foundation, I was a trust and estates lawyer in New York.
Oh, that was good practice for this.
Yeah, very good. New York and Connecticut I practiced. So I can work with donors, with their professional advisors, or with our local organizations concerning what type of giving makes the most sense in terms of tax benefits. And it's interesting because most people hopefully think about retirement planning or college planning or savings, But a lot of people don't think about charitable planning, and a lot of professional advisors don't think about talking to their clients about that. And the same way people take care of their kids, people have a church or a synagogue or a food pantry that they are involved in that they give to every year. And very often they are not, but they should be thinking about, well, is there something long-term I can do for this organization for when I'm not here to make sure it continues? You know, you mentioned universities earlier. We know universities have billions of dollars, right? And that's because people planned ahead and made gifts, and the gifts get invested over time, and they really help sustain and make those institutions strong. And we have some of that in New Haven as well, but certainly not on the same level that universities do. And we need that. I mean, our arts organizations, our food pantries, everything we do would be better off if we had more endowment funds, because it's so hard every year to raise those annual funds. We see our local organizations struggle, especially during COVID, right? Trying to do fundraisers, trying to do annual giving, trying to get grants. The more they can offset those annual operational costs with guaranteed endowment funds, the stronger the institution.
Susan Stone writes in, you rock this, Lisa. Thanks for listening, Lisa. We're talking to Lisa Stanger, the executive director of New Haven Jewish Foundation, that's just reporting great news that it had a 35% increase in the value of its endowment to $75 million. And we're talking about what that means for real people, real life. So just in going over a mission of a group like Community Foundation, Jewish Community Foundation, why is it important for a Jewish community to have one central foundation where people who are thinking about long-term giving can trust in order to look out for the overall health of the community as opposed to an individual institution?
So I think the word trust is very important, right? So if each organization, there's a Jewish expression, you know, everyone's trying to make Shabbos for themselves, which everyone's trying to make Sabbath for themselves, right? And isn't it nice when we can all do it together? And when you think about, you know, in terms of the efficiency of that, the Jewish Foundation's able to employ me, right, who has a law degree, we're able to employ a professional outside investment advisor. We have a database that our local institutions could never possibly afford, and we can do fund level accounting. And I know the law concerning endowments, and I know the rules concerning charitable planning. When I don't know something, I can go to an outside lawyer. And it's really next to impossible for each of our local organizations to be able to duplicate that. So we're able to do that for them. We're able to offer that to Jewish donors, and we're able to offer that to professional advisors who are working with Jewish donors.
And
as
in
well.
Addition to knowing about investments and trusts, you also really need to know about the Jewish community on the ground level.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been here a long time. How long have you been here, Lisa?
So I've lived in the community 20 years. I always know that because we moved when my daughter was 3 weeks old, and now she's 20 years old. And I've been at the foundation for about 15 years.
So, and I've seen you go in the hustings. I remember going on a Sunday morning or afternoon. Actually, it was a long meeting of a funeral society, a burial society. You go one by one and tell you about the way they can be part of something through the Jewish Foundation that helps them survive,
That's
be around
correct.
For a long term
right.
for the community.
That's correct. Right.
So what happens during COVID? So a lot of people opened their hearts and their wallets. A lot of Community Foundation, New Haven had a great increase, all sorts, even the independent, we did a little better. What happened that you were able to capture the moment to both build your foundation and to meet specific needs that arose?
So I think very early on, so sometime, you know, March 2020, we realized there are going to be crises in our community. There are going to be emergencies. It's going to be both on the institutional level, so Jewish Family Service or the towers are going to need to be.
So Jewish Family Service does, like, delivers meals to homebound people who have trouble getting their meals,
counseling.
Mental health. The social workers, people, children placement.
Right.
And then the towers is the great institution by the highway there in downtown New Haven, where it's an assisted living.
That's correct.
And
the towers,
which, by the way, did great with COVID. They got people really safe, and they also, which was hard, and they got them vaccinated early.
They did amazing.
Yeah,
they
were sort of the model.
They did not have the unfortunate situation of some other senior living facilities. They did not have a spread. They were able to protect their residents. And part of that also meant having to bring food to the residents. And they have a lot of residents at the towers who are on Section 8 housing and who are on Medicaid and cannot afford to buy food in a traditional method. So we knew we'd have to, when I say we as a Jewish community, so the leadership, the Jewish Federation, the Jewish Foundation, we'd have to provide money to help the towers provide food. We'd have to provide money to help Jewish families.
I'm glad you're there
service.
For that. So what's fund did that come out of? Like, how did that work?
So it came in really three parts of it. And we started March 2020. The boards of the Federation and Foundation voted, which is very unusual, to move monies from the unrestricted funds for this purpose. And when I say unusual, it's you do it in an emergency. It's not
right because you have all sorts
day.
Of funds that have to go for certain purposes,
right.
like for a burial society, for
right.
the upkeep of a synagogue.
Right.
And then we count on you for the discretion
right.
with the unrestricted funds
with the
for this. And what a good use. Boy, I got to tell you, I was so great because we all know people who live at the towers.
Right.
I was so grateful we had this institution. It's not just Jewish people who live there, but it was Jewish run institution.
Right.
And just that we were able to have an institution that cared so much
yeah,
for the most
right.
vulnerable people and help them get through
right, right.
this crisis.
And you're right. Towers and Jewish Family Service serve many non-Jews as well, but they are Jewish institutions. So we had the unrestricted funds that we put aside some. We went out and raised money. And let me tell you, I felt a little uncomfortable calling people up literally on the eve of COVID. You're talking March 2020. And our community has, you know, a lot of physicians, and some of them, their practices were closed down because everything was getting closed down to make way for the COVID patients, and having to call people and saying, I hate to ask you this now, but this is an emergency. We need money. And let me tell you, everyone said yes. Everyone
wow.
said yes.
Did you do that before? That's not usually your job,
That's
right?
That's usually not my job. I don't ask people. I don't solicit people. Advise them.
Right, because people come to you like, you know, someone just left a lot of money to our synagogue to do a fund. Can you have us do that fund?
Right. How would I do this? What would I do? Or helping, you know, but I think also because I don't always ask, it wasn't like another ask.
Right.
And we worked with Federation on this. We were also able to get matching dollars through Jewish Federations of North America, through our national umbrella organization for the Federation. And we raised about $500,000, which is huge for our Jewish community to raise an additional $500,000 during a pandemic. And we distributed it. We distributed it to Jewish Family Service, to the towers. We distributed it, you know, I mentioned food for the towers. We also helped with iPads for the seniors so that they could the towers could disseminate iPads so that they could FaceTime with family members and with doctors. We also worked through our rabbis because we knew, which is what happened, you know, there were people at every synagogue who lost work, who had emergencies, who needed help. And when the rabbis came to us and said, all they had to do was say, we have someone in need, no application needed.
I just want to catch up with these night. Hey, it's so nice to hear from you. Says, Lisa is very sweet and humble. When I was living in New Haven, she was so authentically kind to me. Awesome lady waving to you both from Montana, waving to you back. Thanks for listening. Justin Farmer, who is a council member in Hamden, writes in, I pretty much grew up in those buildings. My mom was a CNA, certified nursing assistant. Uh-huh. Shout out to all the healthcare workers taking care of our elders. Thanks for listening, folks. And you're listening to WNHH-FM's Dateline New Haven. Lisa Stanger, the Jewish Foundation. So before we end with COVID, is there anything you'd like to say about the way, so obviously what I was hearing when you were just talking was the way that someone who's been here 15 years was in a position when you had to do something you hadn't done before, which was an emergency unlike one we've seen, how you could reach the right people nationally to get matching dollars, locally to pony up some extra dollars. And then, this was sounded most important to me, you kind of knew where to turn to have it get in the right hands. When you knew the rabbis, you knew the individuals, when you knew the towers that dealt with the elderly, when you knew the Jewish Family Services was going to be delivering more meals to people, that you went to the right places. What did that feel like? Was there a moment amid all the craziness, or did you reflect on why you do what you do, or what this meant about the career choice you made?
It really, for me emotionally, it helped me get through COVID, right?
So
everyone has their own trauma and how they dealt with COVID and isolation and not working together and what was happening. And I have, you know, my spouse was working in the ICU as a physician, which was very difficult for him and us. My daughter was a university student and had to, you know, move to a virtual life and lose out on so much. And for me, you know, this helped me personally that I was able to do this. So I felt like I had a call to action and I could make a difference. You know, so working with my chair at that time was Dr. Craig Sklar. We put together a committee. We would literally get an application. So we would have applications from organizations, but from individuals, we worked through the rabbis. We didn't require applications. And we'd meet within a couple of days to send them the money. And it was amazing. And it was amazing. I think our, you know, the organizations were so appreciative because literally within a few days, we'd be able to wire money to them to make the difference. And it made us feel really good. it made me feel like I could really make a difference. At the beginning, I was a little concerned. I didn't think we could raise all the money, though I didn't necessarily tell that to everyone. But then when I saw it happening, it felt really good to be able to do something. There's a need, you fill it, it's done or almost done. You don't have a lot of, you know, situations where you can feel like that sort of, you know, immediate gratification.
We're in a different stage of the pandemic, obviously. Now it's an endemic for those of us who are vaccinated, a pandemic for others. We were in such a different frame of mind a year and a half ago that it was all so sudden. There was so little we knew about it. For all that we still don't know, we knew so much less then about what was going to happen, what was going to be the trajectory, why it was happening, what we could do to stop it. And it was it's really stunning to look back and to see what people like you and the Community Foundation New Haven and everybody did to pitch in with people so that in the end, we didn't have this mass hunger. We didn't have these mass evictions. Government stepped in, bipartisan in Congress, right? And now I feel like we might see in slower, less dramatic terms, some of the misery we didn't see. Everyone pulled up because it was an emergency. It was adrenaline, right? We didn't want people to starve. We didn't want people to lose their homes. We didn't want people who lost their jobs not to have any money. But now that extra unemployment benefits are ending, now that the eviction moratoriums in other parts of the country are getting gradually lifted, I just wonder whether people like you are going to have to change to a different mode, whether there'll be any kind of long-term implications.
It's definitely a possibility. You know, we have not much, but a little money, certainly not enough if what you're talking about happens, you know, left in the fund. But we haven't officially closed the fund. We haven't officially disbanded the committee. We haven't taken the information down from our website because you're absolutely right. We might need to continue. There could be long-term, you know, ramifications here in terms of, you know, unemployment and homelessness and evictions. And we'll definitely see that in New Haven.
I mean, before I let you go, I want to just let you tell people more about the non-COVID part of your job. You know, the Jewish Foundation, as we said, it works on behalf of all institutions in town, large and small, in the region, to do what they do long term. So, what's some of the stuff that you give that you help people raise money for? Despite, in addition to their dedicated funds, like I know at our synagogue, you just help them get a return on some money people left them. For instance, security has become a bigger need at synagogues, right? There have been more anti-Semitic violent episodes throughout the country. Of course, the biggest being Squirrel Hill in Pennsylvania. Are you being looked to more to help keep houses of worship safe?
Yes, and we were very lucky. We have a community donor who gave us, who allowed us to use funds. And it's actually in memory of her parents, Arthur and Yvette Eder. And it's basically, so this isn't an endowment fund. This is monies that were given to the Jewish Foundation for annual security grants until the fund is exhausted.
How much did you get?
It's over $1 million.
When did you get that?
The money's been with the foundation for a while, but it became targeted for security and to be spent down for security about 2 years ago.
Was this after Squirrel Hill?
It was.
Or San Diego, or what was that?
I think it was right. We started talking right before Squirrel Hill. I think I'd have to look back at that. So we make So now it's in our. We just finished our second year. We've already given out $500,000.
What's this going toward?
So this is going towards synagogues and day schools, synagogues, Jewish schools, and camps in Greater New Haven. So they apply to us. It's a pretty simple application, and they can apply every year. We're already in our second year, again, until the money runs out, so it'll be several years. They can do long-term projects. And it's been a mix of what organizations have applied for. Some of it has been, a few of them were for armed security guards, because some of our synagogues and schools feel, understandably, they need an armed security guard there. And some of it's more for infrastructure, for cameras, for deadbolts, for other types of security systems.
Yeah, I feel very mixed about the whole thing, but I'm not an expert on it.
Right.
I worry about what some of the security's doing to the...
Right. Well, and you and I go to the same synagogue, so we know we have armed guards there now.
Yeah. And then also, what about physical plant and religious life? Those are two other main long-term needs in a religious community, right?
Right.
About how our institutions' buildings are going to hold up, and if you do have any role in how Judaism is practiced.
So in terms of the buildings and the infrastructure, I mean, certainly having, you know, encouraging long-term donations or gifts to the institutions helps. So one thing I'm thinking, we don't have any grants process that's, you know, specifically for capital. But for example, when I advise donors, and I've done a lot of this lately, there's if I don't want to go into too much detail, but basically if you're over a certain age, you can use your IRAs for charitable giving. It's extremely beneficial. And I've actually helped some of the institutions, you know, work with donors who might not have realized how easy it is and how beneficial it is to give IRA assets to institutions. And some of those have really helped with, you know, capital gifts to the institutions.
So where are we going with philanthropy in this country? There have been trends of social investing with donors who, rather than just giving people like you a blank check, kind of tell you how to spend it, right? Which I think there's some downsides too. I think there are Silicon Valley people who think they can hack human beings the way they hacked apps and they try to tell you how to do it, but there are positives too. How has philanthropy changed in your 15 years and where are we going next?
So definitely more donor designation. You know, the foundation obviously can do that. That's, you know, it's kind of what we do. So we've been doing this.
You're well set up for that.
But obviously it hurts general campaigns like a United Way or a Federation campaign. I think also, you know, the fact that people can give anywhere and they can give on their own. You know, so, you know, even I'm thinking like, you know, traditionally, the only way Jews could give to Israel was really through the Federation annual campaign. Maybe JNF also, you know,
Jewish National Fund.
But now, actually, you can give to Israel in so many different ways. You can give to Israel to not support Israel. You can give to Israel to support Israel. You can give to help stray cats in Israel. You can give to help the blind in Israel. I mean, you know, there's so many American friends.
So one way philanthropy's changed is that there are a lot more ways to have direct impacts and issues you care about.
Right. And people can research it. They can go online. There are different ways to do it. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're at the helm at the command center so we can get them in the right place. Thanks for letting us know about it. Before you leave, I'd like you to make the pitch to an individual and to people who run institutions about why they should link up with the Jewish Foundation and how they should do it.
So you can link up with the Jewish Foundation by contacting me, Lisa Stanger, at the Jewish Foundation. Our website's newhavenjewishfoundation.org, or you can email me, lstanger@jewishnewhaven.org. And the reason is really, if you're interested in giving, whether it's current or whether it's an estate plan or whether it's large or whether it's small or whether it's long term, I know the landscape of the community. You know, I have people who come to me all the time because there's something specific they're interested in and they want to find out the best way. I kind of, you know, make a match in that way. I also go to donors because I know there's something going on and I know that might interest them, and I go to them and try to match them with the organization. I also, you know, have expertise in terms of, you know, charitable planning and different ways to give. We offer donor advised fund programs. And really, my job here is to help people help the community.
All right. Well, I can vouch for you that you're the right person.
Thank you, Paul. Please,
if I accidentally come into an incredible boatload of money, I'm definitely going to send.
I would say anyone can be a philanthropist, Paul.
All right.
Even you and I.
Well, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. Okay. And good luck. I hope that next year you grow 40%.
Thank you.
And I think you might. And thanks for joining us on this episode of Dateline New Haven. We're going to take a break and then come back with Dunn Pearson, who, besides being up to some pretty interesting stuff these days involving horses, was the keyboardist for a group called the OJs back in the day. So hang tight. We're going to have the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How to Feel to Be Free. Catch you on the rebound at WNHH New Haven's home for community radio.